All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. I don't know where everybody is. We're missing.
Well, college students are they at Project Graduation?
They're probably gone. All right, so let me open this up in prayer, and then we'll get the hot air rolling. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this extended period of rain. Thank you for all that you've given us, the place and time and location that you've put us, and the opportunities that are before us. And as we look back through this class year, I pray that we have strong recollection of points that you would want us to hear, to implement, changes to be made. And we just thank you that we've had this opportunity. Thank you for Larry Osborne for writing this text and for us to learn and hopefully get more wise from it, and that we can be more like you and closer disciples to you, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, I learned a lesson last week.
What was that?
The lesson learned is, so Chris had a point at the end, right? And he kind of, he introduced us to some things, and he was narrowing it down. And as a class, we kind of took a few rabbit trails. So instead of making my point at the end, I'm going to make my point at the beginning. So what are the key takeaways from studying Daniel in Babylon? This is our last class, last week. Next week, during this hour, is the Sunday school party, right? We're going to be
party
in the gym. Historically, our parties have been kolaches and donuts and church coffee, right? This year, we're going to have more healthy alternatives to include fruit and that such thing, but also the kolaches and donuts. So we're going to derivate a little bit, but it'll be more. You'll have more options than just the other stuff. So I encourage you to attend, and then we go into the second service. So what are the key takeaways from studying Daniel? So when Chris and I decided to do it this way, we planned it for him to take his main points, right, from the classes he taught, but also in his mind, and I was going to do the same. And is that funny? Are you laughing at me? My takeaways are God wants all of you, and the battle is spiritual. So God wants all of you is going to be several chapters, and then the battle is spiritual is a couple of chapters, two chapters in fact. So God wants all of you. God doesn't want something from us. He simply wants us. That's a quote from C.S. Lewis. So we saw God wants all of you in the chapter titled Why Our Faith Needs to Be Tested. Y'all remember that chapter? Why our faith needs to be tested. So why does our faith need to be tested?
Make sure it's real.
Make sure it's real? Cheater. Yeah, counterfeit versus legitimate, right?
Cheater.
Good recollection. So what do we talk about counterfeit faith? What are some aspects of counterfeit faith?
Talk the talk, don't want
to. Yeah, you talk the talk, right? When the heat gets up, you get down. The benefit is not for the Lord's sake, right? He doesn't need to know anything because he knows everything. He uses these sorts of tests and trials to show you and reflect your heart to you, right? So you get that feedback, you understand where you're at, and then it's up to you, isn't it? I mean, isn't that kind of that free will sort of stuff where, hey, here's where you're at. You're a 4 out of a 10 on this issue. You're a 10 out of 10 on this issue, and you're a 1 out of 10 on this issue. Step it up, right? That's kind of the marching order, right?
With God, you can.
Huh?
With God, you can.
Yeah, and he wants you to, right? I mean, he wants all of you. And I say...
That's why conviction is wonderful.
It's wonderful?
Yes. Because you can't...
That won't apply to your line of work.
It really
can't. No. Life without parole sentence? Yes.
It's such a cleansing. I mean, You know, we need to look at the ugly and be ashamed and get rid of it. And it's really wonderful. I appreciate it, because if we're not being convicted, whose side are we on?
Right.
We're dancing with Satan instead of God.
Yeah, but we think we're on our own. I mean, we're the boss.
No,
It's kind of, I mean, it's kind of like after you discipline or spank a kid or something, man, it purges that angst out of that kid's heart at that moment. You know what I mean? And whenever you've kind of made restoration, correct me if I'm wrong, after you make restoration, though, you're right with the kid, you know, in your relationship, that kid is at peace and settled because they know you're the boss, you're the one. It's like an employee. An employee doesn't come to work stressed about flipping on the light switch and having a light in their office or turning on their computer. There's certain things that somebody under you shouldn't have to worry about, right? So when we know we're under God like that, we have those experiences where our control is purged, it's freeing, isn't it?
Sure.
Yeah, and so that's an aspect of having that submission to the Lord and having the accurate faith. Here's a quote from the text. He said, "Those who walk away from God in anger or disillusionment in the midst of suffering never do so because their test was too hard. They do so because their faith was not genuine." What do y'all think about that? Those who walk away from God in the midst of suffering never do so because the test was too hard, but they do so because their faith was not genuine.
Are we harsh?
Can you think of any exception?
Well, if their faith is genuine, they'll come back. You know, because a lot of people, you know, give up on God and then come back. Mm-hmm. You know, because some tests are pretty hard.
Yeah. So have you heard, it hadn't been like on the media lately because of other things, ever since Trump got elected, it's kind of displaced it. But you remember there's been news stories about how like Muslim or Islam is growing in prison population, right? And it's all these inner city black guys that are converting over to Islam. It's not like we're incarcerating a bunch of Middle Easterners, right? Mm-hmm. And not a lot of white folks are doing it. And it's funny, in my years of talking to these guys, almost all of them were raised by their grandma in a Baptist church. And they come to prison and now they're Muslims, you know? It's just a weird profile. But you talk to these guys and then they it's probably 8 out of 10 times they say this one phrase. "Yeah, I tried that Jesus thing." Right? And in my head, that guy didn't walk away from God because he
was never
with God. Was he ever with? Yeah. So, you know, this does come to a point of once saved, always saved, or fall from grace argument, right? It can end at that point. So it's kind of like, can you walk away from God if you're ever with him? If you never were, do you?
Well, a lot of times when that happens is, I want to say part of the wrong gospel is preached. Prosperity gospel, or whatever you want to call, and people expect something. Okay, there's a difference when you're totally broken. And I hear some of the stories on Unshackled or whatever. Somebody comes, he's at the end of his life, okay, and he totally surrenders to God. He doesn't expect anything because he has been through everything, and God is the only one, and he totally surrenders. The Lord reaches out. That is a genuine conversion, when you totally surrender. But if you surrender because you think, well, I get something, or, you know, I go to heaven and then I can do my filthy life like it was before, I just want the security. That is not a surrender.
Yeah, it's not an if-then statement, right? It's a because statement.
Right, right. And a lot of Gospels are called preached that way. You come and your problems will be solved. Christianity is not an easy life to live because there's a lot of conviction, and when you go to church and you come back feeling, oh, you know, like wonderful, most of the time when you come here, you hear how bad you are. And,
and we still come back. What's wrong with us?
Masochistic. The funny thing is, you feel good about that. Yeah. Like she said, conviction is feels good. Whereas if you go to a motivational speaker, you feel so good during the speech, and then you leave, and you say you're empty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of preachers are like motivational.
Exactly.
Yeah. Under the pretense of scripture, right?
Right.
Yeah. I agree. I was thumbing through Sirius XM Radio and stumbled on Joel Osteen. He's got his own channel.
As for the guys that you were talking about, I think there's something to be said too for like growing up in a Christian family culture versus a faith. And sometimes it's people I've met, it's like, oh, I'm a Christian, but it's not really a faith. It's just, they grew up and it's kind of just part of their lifestyle. Like, not their lifestyle, but their
family
culture.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we pray before every Thanksgiving meal or any family get together.
And so when they're tested, of course they fail.
Well, they haven't made it their own yet.
Yeah.
There are a lot of kids that are, and we've seen this working with youth, and that they grow up in strong Christian families, mm-hmm. but then they, if they haven't yet made it their own, they haven't had their own personal test that they need to kind of get through so that what's been put into their head really becomes a part of their heart and who they are. Because
you hear it in their choice of pronouns, right? They say I rather than they. Mm-hmm. Or my parents or
right.
granddad or whoever.
And they were like, oh, when they mess up, but they grew up in such a great Christian home. It's like,
I never experienced that.
The proverb says if you raise them up in the way of the Lord, that they won't stray from it when they get older. In other words, when they get tested, they'll turn back to their faith. Even though they may not look like they've got it, you raise them up that way, and it'll soak in eventually.
Don't we all have that testimony? I mean, you have to pinch off, right? And the same thing dynamic happens whenever you get married. It's your identity. You know, you go from one of one to two of one. You know,
a man is not complete until he's married, and then he's finished.
You gotta take what Rick says with a grain of salt. That's not officially endorsed by the church, brother. For the record. Edit that, delete. So God wants all of you, is not just 100% of you at that moment, but 100% of you 100% of the time. Right? So it's all of you in all circumstances. So in what unexpected ways have you had to apply your faith?
In the times that, like, in 2019, I was I was working, but I still was not making enough money to pay rent and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the apartment actually tried to evict me, but God raised up an attorney and raised up a coworker and everything. The attorney then let me get evicted that. And the coworker gave me $800, which is why I'm up here now.
Yeah.
And then God gave me TDCJ job, but I've quit that now. So now I'm waiting on God to give me another job. So
yeah.
God's been my sole provider.
Sole provider, just through different ways, right?
Yeah.
That's how it works, through people. Okay, anybody else? You ever had an interaction with something or somebody that just took a left on you real quick, and you wanted to take a left with them real quick? I looked at our tax appraisal thing this morning, so I have that in my head. I'm just thinking of the appraisal board. But anybody have any experience like that, you know?
Well, when telemarketers call me.
Opportunity.
I just tell them, not interested.
I say, I'm mightily blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me and died for you and everybody else. Do you know him? And if you believe that, you'll go to heaven.
He An Indian dude hangs out real quick, doesn't he? Yeah.
Well, I hope one of these days somebody talks to you. That would be
cool. That would be cool, wouldn't it?
That on the extended warranty lady.
The last notice.
Yeah, last
the 12th time for the last notice. Yeah, that's actually a good idea. And you know, now they're using local numbers, right? They're using local cell phone prefixes. You're thinking it's tricky.
I was just going to say that unexpected, I don't think I ever expect to have to use my faith in a way that it happens. It's like, it's always unexpected to me. Like, I get in a situation where I'm so excited, well, I get to talk to somebody, wow. Or I get in a situation where someone let me down, I'm like, wow, okay, I'm always, you know, having to rearrange and rethink how I apply the word, what I'm learning from the word, how can I use it in the, so it's always, maybe it's just me, it's always unexpected to me. I don't expect things to happen the way that they do.
Yeah, it's hard to forecast, right? Mm-hmm. Very hard to forecast.
I guess an unexpected time you'd have to apply your faith is when some opportunity comes along that could give you great prosper, but you're not sure that it would be a good thing to do, and so you're going to have to apply your faith and decide whether you want to take that opportunity or pass it by.
Yeah. It's funny, y'all are kind of focusing on the word unexpected. I anticipated you guys to focus on this word, apply. Yeah, I figured I'd get a few darts thrown at me for the
little
apply.
That's why you put the little italics.
Yeah, because I was thinking exercise. Yeah. But.
Well, you know, trials are unexpected. Most of them.
Most of
them,
yeah.
And you have to.
That's up, Trump, come here.
That's when you have to apply your faith. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, I mean, Pat and I have used it before, but it's when we got flooded out.
Yeah.
You know, just, we weren't not expecting that. And you had to apply your faith and trust the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to apply my faith in order for all these things, for God to provide all these things to me that, you know, where I wouldn't end up homeless or
mm-hmm.
anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, yeah, and some of these situations are like moment by moment or just an isolated key pivotal moment, and some of them are day in, day out, like maybe a lifestyle for a short term, right? So it's
we've seen certain themes, like, I feel like God's like, nah, you hadn't learned that one yet, because we had themes, like, in our marriage, it's like, okay, there was this financial theme for years and years,
oh,
and there was like, okay, that's not a theme anymore. Now the theme is, you know,
what's
whatever, or kids, or just other external family drama or whatever. But there's these themes, it feels like, where you get hit really hard in one arena for a while, and then God's like, okay,
it's kind
I'm going to try you in this area.
Kind of the diagram of covenants, you know, where you have some in.
You feel like you get strong in this area, and then he shows you, you're not really strong in these other areas.
And we're going to hit on that here.
We're
going to
start hitting on that.
For the record, she did not see any of these slides.
He asked me if I wanted to.
Yeah, this is the only time I'd offer. This is the only class I'm not nervous about, and it's our last class. Can you believe that?
You get nervous?
Just because of y'all. I'm just, I don't know what's going to be said. So, God wants all of you, the chapter boot camp. You remember boot camp? The struggles, right? So in boot camp, these five are required character traits, and this is what you were talking about. Obedience, perspective, endurance, confidence, and courage. Is all this ringing a bell? I hope it's ringing a bell. So these are traits that the Lord hopes to, or not hopes, and his goal, I guess, to say is for us to develop these traits through the boot camp experience. And that would be those seasons or themes or epics or, you know, whatever we want to call it. And most of the time we have to gain it through suffering, right? Like in my field, in psychology and counseling, people don't change just randomly or in the future. You know, it's like, I want to be a better husband. So I'm going to start in 6 years, and then 6 years happens, and I do that, and it just is great from thereafter. It doesn't happen that way, right? Some sort of crisis has to happen. Some struggle. Heat has to get turned on. We have to feel the pinch, the crunch. You know, there's always sayings for it, but there has to be an external something or another that really encourages us to change. Right? It's like fishing. You know, you're going to stick to the same strategy that's worked 12 years ago until you see this new technique or strategy, and then you're going to try it in the hopes of getting, you know, catching more fish, right?
So or that's the outside. I'm
going to be started on that one.
Different strategy altogether.
Yeah, cut his throat three times. Yeah. All right, so the goal of boot camp is to ensure that we thrive rather than survive, right? So we're in this modern day Babylon, and it's not just surviving, not just getting through the day, not just getting through our lives, but thriving, which means we're making an impact, right? We are actually having a real carbon footprint, you know, in our lifestyle and in our culture. My immediate environment.
There's a song named Thrive.
I don't know that one.
I think it's by, let's see.
Is it heavy metal or something?
No.
No, it's striking as a heavy metal.
It's Christian. It's kind of Irish.
It's heavy metal, Christian.
It's an Irish song.
Like Riverdance thing?
I think it's, I can't even remember the band.
I don't know.
On KSBJ plays it. KSBJ
okay,
and
so
The Message.
Yeah.
They play Thrive.
I'm sure. I'll YouTube that one. I YouTube everything.
I think right now I'm in Proverbs, you know, and there's a theme in there. We can learn by trials and tribulations, or we can ask for wisdom and then go by advice from, especially from the scripture, but from, let's say, elderly Christians who give us advice and tell us what to do instead of walking through the mud and walking through the swamp. We learn that they have done that, and there are very few who learn through that and avoid a lot of pitfalls. Where other people, you know, I was one of them, I'm still am a lot. You want to do that, but you have to walk through it.
Right.
But I admire those people. You know, you hear testimonies from people. Oh, I was on this drug and this, and the Lord brought me out. And then you have somebody who walked from not day one, from 7 years old, you know, to 95 years old. Smooth life, and you say, oh, he doesn't have a testimony. He has a testimony of listening to the word of God and avoiding all the pitfalls.
Who do you want to hear from? Exactly. Right.
Well,
yeah,
I learn from your mistakes.
Well, yeah, that was, we experienced a lot of that when working with youth, right? And it's like in our youth, I think I have a theory about why, but I think it's nationwide idea that I have to have all this drama, emotional struggles, situational struggles, abuse, neglect, all this stuff in order to play the victim card. And I think the ultimate thing is that's going to be my testimony. You know, that
because
I have to have
listened to that and avoided all the pitfalls, and I could have avoided, well, some for sure, you know.
Oh, definitely.
If I would have listened to the advice, but no, I knew better.
Yeah, our young pride.
I think Crowder is the one that seems to thrive.
Okay. Crowder?
Crowder.
Crowler?
Crowder.
Crowder.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up thinking that too, because like we'd go to church camps when I was growing up, and they're always like everybody would come up and rededicate themselves and all that kind of stuff, and you know, they just pour out their heart. And I grew up, you know, with very loving, kind Christian parents and a loving, kind Christian environment, and I don't remember a time when I didn't know I was the Lord's.
It was horrible.
And so, no, it was wonderful. And but I remember thinking I didn't have a testimony for years and years. I remember thinking I don't have a testimony, but I absolutely had a testimony that
yeah,
I was
you had loving Christian
yeah,
parents.
Yeah, I had loving Christian parents.
It's called normal.
And yes.
Boring than that.
My parents, you know, we're still together and just celebrated their 50th, and we have a great relationship with them, and you know, those things are such blessings. And now at this point in my life, I'm like, wow, I'm so glad I had that steadiness. But
I remember thinking, man, my life was just boring. You know, I don't have a story to tell. How can I talk to people? What have I gone through? I mean, obviously you get older and you go through things, but my story is of, you know, God's faithfulness, you know, through my parents, especially as a
You've
child.
Got Jeff, yeah, so we know you've been through something.
Well, that's when my struggles began.
Snoring based sleepless nights.
We have a lot in common.
Of boot camp is to be different than what you started at. It doesn't really matter where you started. You know, we all start at a different place. But God has a boot camp for each of us, and if we will be obedient to the process that He's putting us through, we will be different and better at the end of the camp.
Yeah, have some more of that, right? Yeah. That's exactly right.
Except it never ends.
It really doesn't. It shouldn't. It shouldn't. And that's what Bernie's talking about. That's the wise guy. And we all need to be listening and looking up to him or her. Yeah, that's for sure. And it was something Vaughn something. Who, that quote you had said, it's attributed to him. It's like the fool learns from his own mistakes, but the wise learns from his others.
A fool doesn't learn from his mistakes. A smart man learns from his mistakes. And a wise man learns from other people's mistakes.
Yeah, I think that's the original.
Yeah.
The old school. I mean, this is back in the day when it was a black and white photo and the guy had a big beard. Like that. It was a long time ago. So yeah, it was the fool learns from his mistakes. The wise learns from the mistakes of others. But yeah, that's kind of the saying now. So our growth is important to God, and He'll send us through whatever type of boot camp to make sure we embody those traits. So which of these traits do you need more training in? There's the traits. Do you think you have one kind of...
Hey, put mine right on top.
Nearly settled? I mean, do you have any of these that are kind of like, yeah, I've kind of grown in that sufficiently. Now I'm moving on to the next issue. Are any of y'all like that?
Yeah, I feel like that endurance. I've figured out, I haven't figured it out, but I've gone through the whole courage, confidence in Christ, and endurance. Oh man, we've done that one. But perspective, I think, is one that I'm, you know, currently going through, because there's so many different perspectives.
Yeah.
So yeah, and keeping myself in proper perspective. Who I am versus who God is. That's why I'm excited about the women's Bible study this summer, because it's the perspective of this is who He is, and this is why we're glad that that's who He is, and we are not that.
We're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, bear in mind, I mean, look where we're at in America, in the church in America. It is becoming like a civil war in a way. I mean, all the political stuff is infiltrated to the point where it's really separating us and dividing us, and. At the end of the day,
divide and conquer.
Yeah, there's a strategy to it.
That's where the tough one is, the very first one, obedience. Because you don't know who to be obedient to.
Do y'all know the band?
At what point?
And this is kind of heavy metal. Do y'all know the band Skillet? He's a Christian.
God, that does not sound like a band I want to know, babe.
They're actually pretty good.
Is it a Christian band?
It's a Christian band, and I forget the lead singer. His last name's Cooper. Whatever. Anyway,
not Alice Cooper.
Cat eater dude. Not Alice Cooper. It's his son. I think it's something Cooper. But anyway, I watched a few videos of his on YouTube, and he's like this really bright guy, very very humble. He said, "I really like this guy," and he's fairly young. And on Breitbart News ran an article on him. Of a book he's put out, and this guy is like he's settled on where he stands on the BLM and the critical race theory and all the other stuff that's infiltrating, you know, and he's really struggled with a lot of these things. And what I picked up out of the article is it took him, he was first introduced to some of these ideas in 2012, so 9 years it took him, but now he's come out of it with, I think, some perspective, right? Because he says at the end of the day, we can't compromise truth. And that's really what it's about. You may say the word racism, and you may say the word racism, but I need to know what y'all are talking about, because there's a truth there, you know?
You know, so something on the one world religion, and they heard some, they said there's something about there are two things that go under one world religion, and one is social justice or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just, that's the cover for
so,
the...
It seems like one world religion is in the making right now.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. For sure.
One thing about all these traits that's cool is, like, believers, when we have fellowship with one another, is being able to hear what other people are going through to kind of, it's almost like we get a peek into that. For instance, she's talking about perspective. She shared with me a couple, like, as she's going through and everything, she's learned or seen, and I'm not personally in that season or learning that, but it kind of gives me a peek into and teaches me, which is interesting. So I may be going through my own, but I can learn about the other ones through other believers,
right? And we can do that sooner, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as a 24 year old, you're learning the lessons that the 48 year old is doing, and you might go through when you're 30,
mm-hmm.
so that when you're 48, you're actually taking it up a notch, ratcheting it up, and then he can learn. He can learn those lessons even earlier, and so it, what it does is propels maturity and growth, right?
But you have to have the conversations
in the context of relationship,
right?
Yeah,
and those, and it has to be a trusting, you know, it has to be in a trusting environment where you know that you can be heard, and that people will actually listen to what you're saying and not just try to put their thoughts on you, but just y'all can go back and forth and talk. And I think that a lot of Christians right now have a difficult time because they come in with their preset mindsets and someone else comes in with their preset. Instead of talking and listening and having communication, it's like this person's talking at this person. No one's learning anything and not really hearing anything either.
Yeah, it's like you're thinking of your response when the other person's talking. Yeah, you're both doing the same thing and no one gets in there.
Talking.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking all of those boot camp high points are in the Word. And when you're reading the Word, you will see those in every book of the Bible over and over again. People had confidence, they had courage, you see their perspective. So if you're studying the Word, all of those things are really important to think about while you're studying. How were they obedient? How did they use it? I mean, those are really good study tools. Right?
Yeah, and in the practical side of things, we talked a couple weeks ago about don't idolize the heroes, right? Because they were faulty. But all of these heroes in the Bible, they were some screwed up folks, man.
Just like us.
Just like us.
Who was it that was hiding in the wine vat? You know, trying to run from the Lord. I don't want to raise up an army. I don't want to fight. He's hiding. What a wimp. The next thing you know, he's going to destroy the enemy. So that's us, isn't it? I mean, don't we run and hide? We have all these same problems.
Reminded me that another way of looking at these challenges that God puts to us is each one of them is an opportunity to trust him.
Yes.
And I've heard it said before that God will continue to find ways of asking you, do you trust me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Until you do.
Yeah.
So the outcome of all of that, I think, ends up in that trusting. And that's the foundation of any relationship, is can I trust you?
Right.
Love and
surrender. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's kind of how Jesus treated Peter, you know, feed my sheep. I mean, it wasn't just say it. You're going to be challenged and given the orders to go do, right? So it's more about the do rather than the say. It is the opportunity. Oh, man. All right, so takeaway two, spiritual warfare. The battle is spiritual. And I hope y'all remember in that chapter. Nope, never mind. It's the next slide. So we saw this in Scaredy Cat Christianity, the fear of contamination. So instead of avoiding those things, we need to engage those things. And then legalism, adding extra rules to Scripture. It's all so that things can be predictable, stable, and comfortable, right? Isn't everything about that on the Scaredy Cat Christianity? That's the motive. The ultimate goal is to make things predictable, stable, comfortable, easy for us. And these are kind of those ways we disengage And then we want a checklist. I mean, everybody wants a checklist at the end of the day, right? We want to know what to do at the beginning of the day. At the end of the day, we can check off and say, yeah, I did everything. It's kind of the that's the easy way of doing things.
It's human nature, yeah.
Yeah.
Have goals.
Where,
and,
mm-hmm. I was going to say that's where religious rituals came from, because people wanted to be told, okay, do this, do that, and then everything's good.
Yeah. So at work, you know, we don't really phone anymore. We instant message, right? We Skype and send messages through Microsoft Teams.
I like the checklist. I like the spontaneity, because God lots of times just spontaneity. He's not so rigid.
Right. That's what I'm saying. This is an us issue. This is an us problem. Human nature.
I don't fit in the human nature then.
Where were you born? Let's talk later.
We knew you were different. Mom.
Yeah, we'll clarify that later. But I was texting with a coworker, and I said something about Sunday school or something, and she said, "Oh, I didn't know I didn't know you were that spiritual."
That spiritual.
Yeah, and I kind of wondered, what does that mean? Because she's the checkbox type of person. And, pretty funny. So I just kind of paraphrased the whole Colossians 2 idea. Don't submit to this world and its rules. You've died and no longer belong to this world. Right? So that checklist idea, it's really a myopic kind of perspective. It's not a good idea, because this is not our home. And the comforts that we want to have, it doesn't matter really at the end of the day, because your life is not your own.
Yeah, you want to keep yourself available to God constantly. And if you're just keeping yourself strictly, on this human path thing,
yeah,
you're not available to God.
Yeah, you're shooting yourself in the foot, right?
You're going to get in the way.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good way of putting it. You are going to get in the way. So why is it such an easy trap to fall into? Is like Rick was saying, that's just human nature. Yeah. And a quote from the text is, God got it right the first time. He doesn't need an editor, and he doesn't appreciate it when we add to his words.
Oh.
Right? That was spot on. He doesn't need
to. In Revelation, it says anyone adds to or takes away from this text, the same stuff.
All the curses will be brought onto him or her. Right, exactly. All right, so here's what I was talking about. What God wants, that was our last chapter. But being faithful is more important than being successful.
Oh, amen.
Right? And so it's kind of like in our men's group, man. We repeatedly, when we have our little meetings, we often will talk about, we don't care about our numbers. Yeah. We track our numbers, but we only do that really to know how many pizzas to buy for next week. But we track our numbers, and it's kind of like that the temptation is always there to ask, what can we do different to increase the numbers, right? But instead, we need to look at the depth. We need to look at our content, and are we feeding guys, and are we developing the trust? Do we have the relationship? Are people doing kind of what our original mission is? And it is about being faithful, not about being successful. It's always a temptation.
If you're faithful, success happens.
Right. And if you're really myopic on the right thing, you don't care about the rest.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. So even when God's ways seem to lead nowhere, it's still the right path to take. He's always right, even when we think he's wrong. That's why we call him God. That's from the text. And lastly, from the chapter of persuasion, this was the one that really stabbed me in the heart, man. I needed that chapter. So remember, the battle is spiritual, so who is our enemy?
Satan.
Right. That's exactly right. And this is that sentence right there, man, I keep coming back to that when I think of this book. It's this sentence. It's non-Christians are not the enemy. And I still struggle with that. Heather and I had a conversation about that last night. No, I had a diatribe about it. But anyway, non-Christians are not the enemy. They're the victim of the enemy.
Yes.
Right? I mean, there is no qualitative difference between any of us. Right? Mm-hmm. In and of ourselves, we are all
sinners.
In the same boat. So So look at the documented interactions Daniel had with Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, he was always respectful, always uplifting, but Nebuchadnezzar was evil as they come, right? And we don't know those things that aren't documented, for one. But we don't know those times when Daniel went with the program. I mean, it's all speculation because, you know, we don't know. But there's something to it, you know. So Nebuchadnezzar is not the enemy. He obviously was a victim of the enemy. And then God got a hold of him.
So why was Daniel respectful and uplifting to Nebuchadnezzar?
Why was he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think he wanted to be a good example. Yeah, I think it's that simple. It's that God put you in a place to be his representative.
Yeah, I think it had to do with his relationship with God. Yeah. See, God told him.
I don't know.
I don't either. I'm just saying it's a really good question to me to think about. But I think God puts us in places where we're offered the opportunity to be that little glimpse of him and his nature.
Yeah.
Obviously can't represent the whole thing, but we can do a little piece of that thing.
So y'all know the idea of, like, you know, you got the cross here. This is the New Testament, Old Testament, and this is like the Jew and this is the Gentile for, you know, everybody, right? With Jesus. You know that idea? That all the Old Testament points to the cross?
Mm-hmm.
So, Daniel was never given a directive. I mean, in God's law, it's not really about be a good witness and spread the word.
No.
Right? It's not. It's about y'all be pure. You guys are isolated. Remain that way. Y'all are my people.
Set apart. Okay.
But maybe the reason why is because we're seen after the fact. We're given this example here of what's to come. So maybe Daniel was living like that as a foreshadowing of what's to come. But I don't know.
But they had to survive, right? For to get to the lineage where Jesus Christ could be born, the Jews had to survive the captivity,
right?
Which required a relationship with the king, the ruler, whoever it was at that time. So, I mean, there was a need for it.
Well, there were some folks left back at the house.
God could have, they could survive. As long as God was with them, they survived, period.
No matter how much you screwed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right,
but
might be God's means
but
for
that,
them
but
to have survived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the mechanism of it.
So we can have his class.
So we can be cold.
Yeah.
And we can be late. Everything works out, right?
Open mic.
So I just wanted to throw it out there. In all honesty, I intended for us to finish like 15 minutes early to have open mic, but didn't work out that way.
The open mic started early.
We had some open mic throughout there. Yeah.
So any final comments or anything?
I want to thank you so very much.
Chris found this, and it was just, it's spot on, you know what I mean?
It is. It's been wonderful.
You know, there's one thing I would like to say about thriving in Babylon and the example of Daniel, is that we're looking at it from our perspective and how to apply it in our lives, and we're not there yet. We're seeing the possibility, but we're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have a chance to be bold and courageous. We still have a constitution at this point.
We can still roll back that.
We still can stand up and speak for what's right and do what's right to our best of our ability. We're not under captivity yet.
Right.
So that's all.
Well, I just commented on your earlier question. You know, Daniel was respectful, but he also stood his ground, and he accepted, you know,
the consequences
of those stands. But I think he was an enigma to Nebuchadnezzar, because he was respectful, but he did stand his ground. He did accept the punishment, and then, you know, the punishment didn't punish him. So I think he was a bit of an enigma to Nebuchadnezzar. And,
Yeah, I like you, but I have to hate on you.
Yeah.
I don't really think Nebuchadnezzar wanted to send Daniel to the lion's den. He was tricked into passing.
Yeah, that was a manipulation thing. But what he did stand up for was the prayer, which landed him in the furnace, which didn't work. So, yeah. Yeah, it is amazing. So, I agree, but the spirit is the same. That Babylon spirit is the same, right?
Sure.
Yeah, and so it's always been percolating.
That's right.
It just bubbles up here and there kind of thing, but now the bubbles are getting bigger, more frequent, and more global, right? Yeah, so I think we're really going to see it. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, our lives don't matter. That kind of thinking is an eternal perspective.
I wrestle with that all the time, because from beginning to end, God's word tells us to be bold and courageous. And we're all supposed to be humble and gentle and persuasive. And it's kind of tough. It's a constant. To me, it's a constant.
That's tough for you? Constant. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, no, that's the plight of mankind, right?
Right.
It's like, be holy, be perfect, be set apart. Do everything right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Good luck with that.
We can't, yeah.
Right.
Do everything right, and like you said, and do all that, but at the same time, don't judge people that aren't. That's one of the hardest things, is that you see people doing things, and you want, and in your heart, you want to help them, and you want to try to, but at the same time, you can't judge the way they're doing. So for me, that's the hardest thing, is to keep my mind straight on they're lost. You know, I hurt for them, and don't judge what they're doing, because you can't talk to anybody if you even have the slightest bit of judgment. Mm-hmm.
You know, you sound like a lady I lived with last night.
We literally had this conversation
after going through the Starbucks drive-thru and seeing some
stereotypical
folks there.
Well, I was thinking about that perspective thing, and you know what, that really hit on it when it said, you know, that non-Christians are not the enemy, that we're battling against spiritual things, not each other. And so that's a perspective that's hard to grasp,
right,
sometimes, or hard to apply correctly, because we think of our enemies as those who...
In Washington?
Who oppose us. Yeah.
And
it's a personal thing.
Yeah,
right?
We should be converting them, not killing them.
Right.
And that's a hard thing to, but it's a good thing to keep in perspective.
Well, we're going to be accused of being judgmental whether we feel that way or not.
Well, it doesn't matter what
we stand for,
as long as we're not guilty.
If we stand for God,
exactly,
we're going to be accused of being judgmental.
Right. Oh, yeah. All sorts of darts are going to be flown at us.
Yeah.
Let them throw them.
Well, the thing
is, the thing is seriously, all they can do, they can't kill me, they can kill the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Hello,
yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah, no, you're already established. I know.
You know,
yep.
If you look at it from the spiritual perspective, look at the people we are supposed to, I mean, non-Christians are not our enemies. Well, God's army is the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we surrender, who's Satan's army? It's the other guys.
Yeah, everybody else.
Right.
So,
you know, if we surrender to God, we fight his battle. They surrender to him, and they fight their battle. So on the battlefield, we just look at the people, but we don't look at the commanders who gives the, you know.
Right.
And our commander is stronger. We know at the end the battle is already won. But it's hard to focus on eternal perspective if you're on a battlefield.
We need to aim our guns at the devil, not at his army.
Yeah. Get the command post.
Try to convert his army.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to land the plane. this has been a good year.
It has
been a good study. It's been a lot of work on Chris and my end, but it's been good. You know, the text really has provided a good outline for us to really blow up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's
That's the year.
All right. All right, so does anybody want to close us in prayer? Every time I offer, no one picks it up. So I break tradition. All right, I'll close it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time. We thank you for your body, your local body here. Thank you for the friendship and the relationships that we have, the identity, the sense of belonging and community, the opportunities to give and contribute. And it's fascinating to see you work and to know that you are present, that you care, and that we don't understand your plan. We know the outcome, but how that happens, you reveal to us as you choose, as you see fit, as we can handle. And Lord, I pray that we become bold and that our Babylon can be staved off as long as we can for our successive generations, but your will be done in spite of our preferences. That really is what it's about, is, you know, we are motivated by comfort and prevention of harm and pain and suffering. But like we see in your word, that's how growth and maturity happens. And may you purify the church. May any errors that we personally have and collectively have be brought to our eyes, and then we see it, and we make corrections and changes. May we live according to your word, and we know your word. And that other folks will see us how you want us to be seen, as glorifiers of you. And may we make an impact in this town, in our county, in our state, and that our state can help direct all this change in our country, Lord. You're at the second service. For those of you folks in attendance that don't know you, prick their ears and open their hearts, Lord. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so next week is the party.
Do you think I'm getting